Good morning. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. The time is 9:12 a.m. I apologize for us getting off to a late start. It's the end of the session, and there's a lot of people in other meetings, other obligations, but we're getting it rolling now. We're meeting in State Cap Room number 205. Senators in attendance are Senator Stevens, Senator Hughes, Senator Machicki, myself as Chair, Senator Holland. Senator Begich is held up a little bit. He might be able to join us later. Thank you to Mary Gwen, our recording secretary, and Kelsey, our moderator for today. As a reminder, if you have your cell phones on board, please silence your cell phones. At this point, I'll bring Senate Bill 196 back before the committee. 196 is related to compelled speech and instructional material transparency. This is the third hearing on Senate Bill 196, and we are going to hear a few amendments. First up would be Amendment Number 1 by Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you. And just to confirm, Mr. Chair, is that O.1?
That would be O.1. Amendment Number 1 labeled O.1. Thank you, Senator Hughes.
I move Amendment Number 1.
I will object for discussion. Please explain your amendment.
Yes, this is just to clarify the sponsor's intention on page 3, line 22, that the school shall retain information about training instructional curricular material for at least 2 years after the material, instead of just after the material is used, it would be after most recent use of the material.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hughes. I remember that discussion during that meeting. I appreciate that you're offering that clarification. Is there any further discussion about Amendment Number 1 labeled O.1? That's a brief at ease. Senate Education is back on the record. So once again, we're discussing Amendment Number 1 labeled O.1. And is there any further discussion on Amendment Number 1 labeled O.1? Senator Stevens?
Just a question on the sponsor. So it says most recent material is used. So other recent material may be on different subjects or different materials. So you want to make sure you have all that information available. I'm just wondering if this restricts it to only the most recent that may have occurred in the curriculum.
No, it'd be the most recent use, not the most recent material. So the question was whether it needed to stay posted. The 2 year period would begin when it was first used or when it was last used. And the sponsor indicated her intention was that it would stay posted for 2 years after it was last used.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Any other discussion? Seeing none, I will withdraw my objection. Is there any further objection for Amendment Number 1 labeled O.1?
Yes.
Object for discussion. Senator Machicki.
This doesn't seem to fit. Can you explain it one more time? The grammar seems unfitting of the sentence.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, may I respond?
Please.
So that's how Ledge Legal drafted it. The question discussion in the committee is a school's using material, they begin to use material, so do they only have to keep it up from the point they began using the material, or they have to keep it posted from the point they stopped using it? And so it was when it was last used. And so we presented that to Ledge Legal, and that is how they worded it.
I'll state the sentence in whole. The school shall retain information about training, the school shall retain information about training, instructional, and curriculum material for at least 2 years after the most recent use of the material.
You added a the in there, which I did.
Well, the is right there.
Okay.
And then this is differently, that's phrased differently than any amendment.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's Might have been an early version of it. So to me, it reads pretty well. The school shall retain information about training, instructional, and curricular material for at least 2 years after the most recent use of the material. Do you maintain your objection?
I do.
Is there further discussion? At this point, I will go to Madam Secretary. Please call the roll.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering if perhaps, if instead of the word after, since, wait a minute. Maybe that is that where it's awkward. I'm just wondering if he has a if we don't fix this, there's going to be confusion as to how when you start the 2 year clock. So we probably do need to fix it one way or the other.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Machicki.
So thank you to the sponsor of the amendment. The way I read this right now is you use material in a course. The most recent doesn't fix, in my view, what you're trying to do. I mean, you could say, frankly, I think the paragraph is pretty clear. If you're trying to set a clock, it would be 2 years after the beginning of the course or the end of the course date or something like that. But I think it says that. Is that what you're looking for? I just should ask that. Are you looking for a point in time where the 2 years begins? Mr. Chairman, I move a conceptual amendment to amendment number one.
All right, Senator Machicki. Would you care to give a quick description of what this conceptual amendment might be?
Delete material as used and enter the completion of the course.
So to leave the sentence as phrased and then put something after used, what would the words be behind after used?
It wouldn't, the material is used would come out. It would say school shall retain information about training, instructional, curricular material for at least 2 years after the completion of the course.
Oh, okay. So still delete material is used, but insert completion of the course. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that we know what it is, do you care to move it? Do you move conceptual amendment number one?
I did.
Okay. I will object for discussion. Is there discussion?
I'll just say I would support that friendly amendment. It helps All clarify right. When the clock begins.
And is there any further discussion? I will withdraw my objection. So is there any further objection to conceptual amendment number one to amendment number one, O.1? And seeing no further objection, conceptual amendment number one is adopted, and I believe I also hold the objection to amendment number one as amended. Is there any further objection or discussion on amendment number one, O.1? Seeing none, I withdraw my objection. Is there any further objection? Seeing none. So amendment number one, labeled O.1, is adopted as amended. All right. Next up is amendment number two, also by Senator Hughes.
Yes, I move amendment number two.
I will object for discussion. Please explain the amendment.
Thank you. We've had a lot of good discussion in this committee about the importance of civic education and for students to begin to look at what's happening maybe in the legislature, in Congress. I mentioned I've received numerous letters from grade school, high school, students weighing in on certain topics, and so what this amendment would do would allow a student to continue to do that, but they could not be told what topic or position they are to take. So it it allows the student freedom for a teacher to allow that kind of work in perhaps a civics class or so that's basically what it does. And and if there's further discussion, my staff can come up. He worked with Ledge Legal on that, if anyone has any particular questions as far as how technically it would work.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. I believe this was in response to, we were concerned, like, for a political postcard that a student may want to send to their legislators, that it kind of clearly allows the activity as long as the teacher does not take specific actions to compel the student to do something.
Right. Mr. Chair, the student is free to pick his or her position on a topic, and the district or the teacher couldn't do it. We heard an example of at one point that there was credit being offered, I believe, in the Anchorage School District for taking a certain position, and that's the kind of thing we don't want to happen. We want the students to be able to make up their own minds on the issues.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. I've had a chance to look at this amendment, and I'm in favor of this amendment. Is there any further discussion on amendment number 2, labeled O.2?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Machicki.
I've had bills in front of committees where typically people sort of ask how that fits into the sponsors, and we have the right as a committee to change any bill any way we choose. But is it possible to hear from the sponsor on this?
Sure. I would invite Senator Reinbold. I didn't introduce her being here earlier because I figured that we'd probably bring her up to the percentage table sooner or later. But Senator Reinbold, welcome to the Senate Education Committee. Do you care to put yourself on the record and respond to Senator Michiki's request?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and honorable members of the Education Committee. Thank you for having this before the committee, Senator Laura Reinbold, District G. Thank you. And in regards to this amendment, I think the intent is good. It changes, so it says what the teacher may allow to do instead of what the teacher may not allow to do. I think the intent is good. I mean, so I don't believe I'm against this amendment. It just kind of changes from the may to may not. For the first part is the may and then the may not on pages 4, line 20, and page 4, line 23 through 24. So basically it just switches the way that the phrasing is the best of my understanding.
I'll just state that I in our earlier conversations, I remember the discussion when we disallowed the teacher the latitude to do the activity, it seemed like we were disallowing the teacher to do any kind of outreach with the student, with their legislators or their political thing, and that so this allows it, but then it puts restrictions about compelling the student in one direction or the other, like to be an advocate for an issue.
And Mr. Chairman, it never disallowed the broad basis. It only restricted to those very serious things that were clearly outlined in the bill. It never in any way wanted to restrict involvement in education and outreach and all that. It was just the very divisive concepts. That's the only area that had the bookends.
Senator Machicki.
Yeah, so Senator Reinbold, we want, and I think you agree with this, we want our kids to be involved. We just don't want them to be directed in a particular opinion. So this amendment allows the involvement, including credit for involvement, without the rudder being placed on a student in which direction that educators may try to force them to go, right? So you're in favor of that concept.
To the best of my ability, if that's the intention of that, then I would definitely be supporting this amendment.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Reinbold. If you care to stay there, because I'll give you a moment to speak, I think Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, close
Mr.
enough.
Chair,
strong feminine side.
Mr. Chair, can you give us some examples? I mean, it'd always be helpful if we know, are there some bad examples out there where teachers have forced students to do things that this would allow, give the students freedom? I understand that, but that sounds good to me. But are there some specifics you can point to that this has been misused?
So through the chair, the example, one of the examples was that the budget for the Walker's budget, and I think I discussed that, they were encouraging students to take a position in regards to the budget. So that's one of several examples, but that's the kind of thing we want the students to have the independence and the freedom, like President McChickie said, to be able to take the positions independently and with more critical thinking, rather than being directed or pushed or used as political pawns, basically.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Any other examples that we might latch on to so we really understand what we're protecting our kids from here?
Well, when you look at the books that were put forth in regards to the critical race theory, I read several examples of the books and some of the very disparaging things that they said based on race. That, to me, we just want to make sure that those are avoided so that people, in regards to, like, if they're a race, they're not automatically oppressors. Things like that, we're trying to prevent some pretty negative things from happening in the future. We've definitely heard some examples of what's going on, but this is more being a little bit progressive, being a little bit ahead of the curve because of several of the books that are now allowed in the curriculum. And so we just want to make sure that because we're white, we're not the oppressors, and blacks, for example, are not the victims, etc. We just don't want very divisive. We want to be unified. We want to not discriminate or be taught things that are very divisive, or teachers that have an opinion for that to be portrayed onto the student. I think it's very, very important. When I substitute taught, I can give you examples of some pretty horrific things that I had to go through when I was a substitute teacher. And I'll give you a quick example if you'd like right now. But one thing is I subbed for a teacher that basically thought that anybody who had ever been in the military came back and they were liars, basically, about what happened. She's very anti-war. And so I had about 100 of the kids, their parents in the school, Eagle River High School, had been deployed. This was very disturbing to them, extremely disturbing to them. Their parents were deployed. They were trying to fight for freedom. And then in school, they were being taught something that was extremely divisive and very hurtful. So I basically said that I wasn't going to teach it. And I had to go to the curriculum because it was too painful for the students. So I went to the curriculum director, and then he made me go to the director of education, English Language Arts. And they basically told me that I had to teach it. And I said, well, then I'm quitting. I'm not doing this because this is too disturbing for the children. So I walked out, and I knew they couldn't find us up because this was very, very difficult. I ended up getting invited back because they couldn't find anybody to take the place. And with that I could teach the class how I thought was right for the students. So it's a lot more detailed story than that, but it ended up really empowering the children and knowing that when there was curriculum, it was very harmful to them, that they could raise up and have a say-so in it. It was so amazing, all the students that raised up and the parents that got involved and engaged. And we ended up having a wonderful end of the session. I ended up teaching the rest of the year in that classroom. But it was very, very important. It was very empowering to the students when something is very painful, very divisive, that they have a say-so, and they weren't just getting told and taught what the teacher wanted them to learn.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. I really, on the surface, I really like the idea of a student having the freedom, not being told what they have to position after date. I think that's very wise. And the more detail you can give us, the more examples you can give us, it really help us, I think. So I appreciate your own experience and encourage you as we move through this that we hear some examples of bad things can happen.
Senator McChickie.
So, Senator Reinbold, you're sometimes a little bit opinionated. And while you're in the classroom, say you were in the classroom during the COVID thing, this bill would not allow you. You would have to sort of present both sides of the issue. It would not allow you to ask your students to be active in the anti-vaccination or anti-masking COVID-related policies. You would not be able to direct students to become active in those issues or give them credit for those issues. However, you would be able to inform them on all the sides of the issues and let them make their own decision. Are you okay with that, even on, and this is not a gotcha in any way, shape, or form. It really is a realistic question. For someone as opinionated as you, how would you feel about not being able to send a little army of eighth graders out in sort of your footprint?
Is this directed at this amendment in
some way? It is, absolutely. It is absolutely directed at this amendment. How do you feel about when it involves things that you're intimately involved in as a teacher? You have to stay pretty mundane and level about those issues.
So basically, through the chair?
Through the chair.
So I think we're kind of getting a little off of topic in regards to this right now. What this bill does is it gives very specific, this is on page 4. This is in regards to fundamentally or racist or sexist. This is an individual by virtue of sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, or national origin is consciously or unconsciously inherently racist. C, it talks about an individual by virtue of sex, race, ethnicity, religion, or color is blameworthy for actions committed in the past by other members of the same sex, race, etc. An individual with moral character is necessarily determined in whole or in part by the individual's sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, based on sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, or national origin, inherently superior or inferior. This is very, very tiny bookends. That, it really doesn't cover issues like that. It's very specifically, and it matches Title 18 right now, where you're not allowed to do it anyway. You know, in this just makes it a little clearer because people have been basically starting to color out of the line, so we're preventing divisive.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold.
Okay.
Senator Mitchell, if you have any more thoughts, I would like to go ahead and get us back to this amendment, and I'm about to withdraw my objection. If you care to object to it,
Mr. Chairman, my comments are only about this amendment.
Well, I will ask Senator Reinbold. Senator Reinbold, are you in favor of Amendment Number 2?
Yes.
There, ask and answer, Counselor.
Can I clarify something,
Senator Mitchell?
This amendment is about the section specifically about prohibiting compelled speech. And that's what my question is specifically about. So I just wanted to clarify that it goes both ways. And that's fine. I think this is a good amendment to clarify that they may even provide course credit for becoming active, and I want to encourage that. But it does not allow steering someone in one direction or another, no matter what side you're on any issue.
And I'm just curious as to, I don't know that Senator Reinbold's concern on either side of any issue will affect the amendment. I at this point, is there any further discussion on Amendment Number 2, Senator Hughes?
Just as to clarify, because the sponsor was going looking at a different section of the bill, this amendment and the compelled speech section is not just limited, for instance, to critical race theory type topics. It could be for any topic on taxes or the PFD or pro-life, pro-choice. I mean, so, and so the question on COVID, it could pertain to a teacher, and the student would then be free to take their position on that. As I just wanted,
the teacher could tell the students, if you're interested, we're going to have a opportunity to reach out to your legislator with your thoughts about COVID. Get a postcard out, write your thoughts about COVID, and we'll send it to your legislator. So with that being said, I will withdraw my objection. Is there further objection to Amendment Number 2, labeled 0.2? Seeing none, Amendment Number 2, labeled 0.2, is adopted. At this point, are there any further amendments? Seeing no further amendments, is there any further debate? Senator Hughes.
I just wanted to make the point that I do think there was some suggestion perhaps that there might be something in this bill that might inhibit the ability for a teacher to speak about the Civil War or Martin Luther King Jr. And we did talk to Ledge Legal, and they were looking at the wording as far as affirm adopted here, and they really felt like we didn't need to fix that, that we didn't need any a line that said nothing in this section prohibits the teaching of American history or anything like that. They felt like this does not prohibit. So I want to get that on the record, that Ledge Legal did not feel like we needed any language to clarify that a teacher could still teach American history, Alaska history, etc. So that is one comment I wanted to make. There was also some suggestion that critical race theory is just something that is at the in the higher institutions, university level. And I was going through the documents on BASIS, and I found, and I would point the committee members' attention, it is a poster, a flyer that went out in December, and it was directed the eligibility for a class at the university at UAA, and it was for Anchorage School District and middle college educators. And the title of the course was The Anti-Racist Writing Workshop, How to Decolonize the Creative Classroom. So this was directed at Anchorage School District teachers. They were providing a $3,000 stipend to participate, a $200 book stipend, and it was held at the UAA campus. I also remember last July reading about the National Education Association's a national conference, how this was a topic that was discussed and educators were being trained in so that they could bring it back to their classrooms. So if anyone thinks out there that this isn't something that has infiltrated into classrooms, whether there's a specific policy or not that a school board has decided, it is a trend of thinking that some educators have been exposed to and may agree with. So I do think SB 196 is important policy, and I'm in support of the bill, so I just want to say that.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Machicki.
Yes, to be very brief, I mean it this time. I will tell you that this is going to judiciary in Section 4. I would hope that judiciary would remove the specific suggestions of damages in ending that, simply giving them standing in superior court, in my view, I support, if it continues to define how those damages should be delivered, making the case for an attorney, I will have a very difficult time supporting this. So that's something, you know, we've done that in other bills. It's kind of a personal pet peeve of mine. Let courts and the attorneys determine how they want to work damages on these issues. But I just wanted to bring that up.
All right. Thank you, Senator Machicki. Any further discussion, Senator Hughes?
And I'll just respond to that. We were looking at that Section 2, wanting to maybe do some fixes there and decided to wait till judiciary. So thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. With no further, Senator Stevens.
Thank you. I just want to have some confirmation that I understand what this bill does. Having been a professor of history for 25 years at the University of Alaska, often teaching Western civilization and U.S. history, I have taught, and textbooks have proclaimed, two issues I'll bring up here. One is the Holocaust, that 6 million Jews were killed during World War II by Nazi Germany. The textbooks say that, and my lectures say that. In addition, I've taught about the Civil War, where the primary reason that I have seen, and textbooks agree, is that it was an issue of slavery, pro-slavery, anti-slavery. There are people who don't agree with that and say, no, that was not the case at all. It was states' rights. And in the Holocaust, there are people that say it never occurred. It's all a lie. How does that affect me as professor of history? Does this in any way inhibit me to teach what historians agree upon, specifically during the Holocaust and the Civil War?
Senator Reinbold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Stevens, absolutely, you should still be allowed to teach anything in regards to, you know, the Civil War, the Holocaust, any that this is actually encourages that. So we're actually looking at traditional, you know, history, exactly what happened, etc. This does not in any way. What this bill is doing is it's saying, basically, because you're white, you aren't an oppressor because of the color of your skin. And that's the kind of concepts we're trying to avoid being taught that are creeping into our curriculum and into our classrooms right now. the goal of this is dignity and transparency in education, as it has been in the past, to make sure we are teaching civil rights as we are teaching about the Holocaust. Because if you don't know history, you could repeat history. So I hope that that explains at a high level. And by the way, thank you. Your opinion is very important to me. And I hope I've made myself very, very clear. But this is the transparency part of it is so that the parents can have access to the materials online and actually will be able to help the students better because it is online as well. So that's one of the most critical parts of this bill as well. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Senator. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Before I look to the will of the committee and warn the committee, it took us 40 minutes to get through two amendments. We do have another bill with four amendments, but I think we'll maybe have moved through it a little quicker. Senator Reinbold, do you have any closing comments on your bill before I look to the bill before I look to the will of the committee?
I just made them. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Senator Reinbold. Senator Stevens, can I look to you for the will of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate Bill 196, Work Order 32-LS0768/O, as amended, be reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. So Senate Bill 196, Work Order 32-0768/O, as amended, has been moved from the Senate Education Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We'll do a brief at ease, sign the paperwork. Thank you, Senator Reinbold. All right, thank you. Senate Education is back on the record. At this point, we will bring House Bill 132 back before the committee. It's related to concurrent vocational education. This is the third hearing on House Bill 132 in Senate Education. And at this point, I will open up public testimony for House Bill 132. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone in the room who cares to offer public testimony? Seeing someone in the room, let's see if they have to have you on here. Coming up, please take your place at the presenter's table, and I'll break out my timer. And we'll probably try to keep you to about 3 minutes if that works. We'll see what happens. But if you please state your name and any affiliation to put yourself on the record and then begin your 3 minutes of public testimony on House Bill 132.
Sounds good. Thank you. My name's Andy Bullock. I've taught construction and metal shop at Juno Douglas High School for 20 years here, and I own my own little roofing business, so that's kind of my background. I'm a strong proponent of getting high school kids involved with apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship opportunities to the fullest extent possible. I think it just really inspires them. I think there's a demand for skilled laborers, and these pre-apprenticeship programs provide a natural conduit for the student and the employer. And the nice thing too about apprenticeships when the kids are in school is there's a small investment on the part of the employer and the part of the student. So it's not like the employer is investing a whole lot of time, and it's not like the student is investing a whole lot of time, and both parties can kind of figure out whether the relationship works. But the biggest thing is that it just really, really gets the hooks into the kids and shows them the possibilities of what kind of a life the trades, skilled trades, provide. Just kind of two suggestions, or three if I may be so bold. If these, you know, 16 to 18 year old kids are on a job site, it'd really be great if they could operate the power tools and climb ladders. I know there's some ACOSH kind of wording that's kind of sticky around those areas. And if we could find a way to kind of minimize the liability that the employer would take by having these kids on the site, I think that would go a long way in the success of these programs. I'm in charge of building I'm not in charge of it. I'm a part of building a house with high school students, and they're climbing ladders and using tools, and it's going well. So I think we could extend that into these apprenticeship programs if possible. And I think my 3 minutes are coming to a close, but just a sincere thank you to your support of these programs. Alaska's really doing well nationally, and I'm a teacher. Teachers complain a lot, but I feel supported by the state and our district, so thanks for that. And I'm right down the hill if you guys want to talk more privately or just not on the clock. I'm happy to do that, so thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bullock. A question from Senator Stevens, maybe from Senator Hughes. Senator Stevens.
Sure. Thank you, Annie. I appreciate your comments. How do we minimize the liability for people climbing ladders and that sort of thing?
Well, obviously lawyers get involved, and then it really gets interesting. But education's a big thing. I don't want to jinx myself, but I haven't in 20 years had a really bad accident at school, and I attribute a lot of that to really good, sound education, which during these apprenticeship opportunities, I think it's important that the high school shop teachers are involved with the employer and the student during this process. It's not like we just want to throw these kids on a job site and say, have fun. I think it's really important that we maintain the relationship with the kid and with the employer at the same time, and education will really go a long ways in minimizing the likelihood of injuries.
Well, thanks, Eddie. So I realize that on the one hand, you want to minimize liabilities, but on the other hand, you want to have kids have real life experience. And
it has to be that way.
It's climbing ladders. And, yeah.
If you read the language, like, the kid can go on the job site and like not do anything, and that's not beneficial to the kid, and it's not beneficial to the employer. The kid has to have a little bit of responsibility under supervision, of course, and I think that can totally be done. When I student taught in Minnesota, we had a model that was working. We'd send kids half a day to a welding shop or a job site, and they were doing the tools and the welding, and it was really successful. So,
thank you.
Thanks, Senator Stevens.
Just a follow-up.
Follow-up?
Just make sure that do you have any suggestions on this specific bill, or how we can make sure that kids are receiving the education they deserve?
I really like on page 4, basically lines 5 through 9, these funds available for that purpose, but some sort of wording that would address the ladders and the power tools. Those are the two big areas that would somehow decrease the liability for the employer. So when we're out on our job site now, that we're building a house by DZ Middle School, but our school's insurance policy covers those kids. So I think we kind of need some sort of an arrangement where the school district may be able to pick some of that up. And maybe these funds that we're referring to, making funds available, could even offset some of that liability insurance the school district may have to come up with.
Thank you. Any great suggestions?
Thanks, Senator Stevens. Senator Hughes.
Yeah, mine are all along the same line, and because you're doing it here in Juneau, your district has figured out a way to, and I'm just wondering, is part of that the students' parents are signing a waiver, understanding that they are using, you know, high-risk type of equipment, and I'm sure you also do safety training as part of that as well before they're...
Yeah, we do rigorous safety training, and the parents do sign the waiver for sure. But I, you know, it's just the kind of the culture you build with these programs is critical, and I feel good about what we're doing here, and I know a lot of my colleagues around the state are doing a really good job as well. And kind of the reason I'm here today is through our Perkins Grant Advisory meetings that I'm a part of. And a lot of the teachers around the state are also getting Perkins money, and they have these relationships established with contractors. So I think if we can identify good teachers with good contractors and good kids and educate, I don't see any downside to this legislation at all. Like, I think it would be fantastic. We could make this happen.
Just as follow-up?
Follow-up, Senator Hughes?
And I'm looking at those lines and financial and technical support to school districts. So there could be, I don't think there's anything restricting some of the finances going to the school district to help cover liability insurance. That might be a question for Ledge Legal, but whether we actually need language or just our discussion here and our intent that some of those funds be able to be used for that. And the fact that a school district, I'm sure, would have at the local level, would want safety training. They would want all that. So we may be okay, but I think it was a really great thing to bring on the record.
Cool. So it's kind of the 16 to 18-year-old kids are kind of the sweet spot here. Once they hit 18, a lot of those rules don't apply, but these kids with summer job opportunities in that 16, 17, 18-year-old range, those are the kids I really want to target, or we want to target. I don't want to just make this all about me. So.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bullock. Hold on where you're at right now. I asked Mr. King to come to the presenter's table and offer a little insight on the topics we're discussing right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ed King, Staff Center, Holland. Mr. Chairman, I would just point the committee to page 5, on line 21, the tuition paid by the school district to the agency. This is money that could help alleviate the cost of insurance and other costs that are associated, as has been mentioned. There are mechanisms for that, those funding mechanism, that funding to flow to those agencies. Mr. Chairman, within the program contract, there is also a requirement that I'm trying to pull it, on page 5, on line 18, a description of the program, including the program curriculum. This could definitely include safety training and other training. It would probably be a challenge to insert that language here because the language in the bill is more expansive than those types of programs, and so leaving that latitude for the districts is probably a better option.
All right. Thank you, Mr. King. Thank you, Mr. Bullock. Thank you for offering your public testimony and entertaining some questions from the committee.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else in the room that cares to offer public testimony? Seeing no one, I look to the electronics. And Kelsey, I don't believe I see anybody standing there. So at this point, we'll close public testimony. Oh, is there?
Jim Anderson.
Let's see where. That's. So, all right. Well, I didn't realize he was public testimony. It looks like I thought he was available for questions, but apparently not. So, Mr. Anderson, are you wishing to offer public testimony on House Bill 132?
I could. I thought I was here for questions as well, but I can talk if you'd like, sir.
If you care to talk for a few minutes, we do have a couple of amendments that we do want to hear. If you care to spend 2 or 3 minutes speaking on House Bill 132, you're welcome to.
Sure, I'll make it very short. Good afternoon or morning. My name is Jim Anderson, and I'm the Chief Finance Officer for Anchorage School District. I am testifying in support of House Bill 132, and I will shorten my comments a lot as you've got some amendments. Anchorage has been building partnerships with businesses, programs all across the city for quite a few years. We have currently about 24 distinct career fields, everything from art design, biomedical, telecommunications, carpentry, and many others. We already do provide our students with course credit for their time, effort, and acquisition of skills, of new skills, but we don't focus purely on apprentice programs. We focus on providing as many career pathways as possible for students. Just real quick on the previous testifier mentioning if the school districts could provide insurance, I would like to point out that insurance for Anchorage used to be really easy. We would have all of our insurance locked in by February and March for the next fiscal year. But over the last few years, not due to ASD's fault, but due to everything from assaults, violence, and bad things happening in schools across the lower 48, it actually took all the way up until April 25th last year to be able to lock in insurance rates to cover us for this current fiscal year. We're in the final stages of getting initial proposals for costs, and I would have to, although I appreciate why the gentleman said it'd be great if the school districts would cover insurance, it would be very problematic at this stage in the game for us to restart negotiations on insurance to picking up outside organizations not under control of the district. But we do support the bill, and I hope that any amendments made will focus on students and not adults and special interest groups. I'll conclude with that.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. That looks like that is the end of our public testimony, and with that, I will close public testimony. Public testimony is now closed on House Bill 132. We do have a sponsor for the bill in the committee room here, Representative Fields. Are there any questions from the committee for the sponsor at this time? Seeing none, I'll bring you to the presenter's table after we hear some amendments for a final statement. But at this point, with no further questions from the sponsor, we have amendment number one up by Senator Hughes. Senator Hughes?
I move amendment number one.
I will object for discussion. Please explain your amendment.
Yes, this was brought to our office's attention by the chair or the co-chair of education in the other body. They had added sibling, grandparent, aunt, or uncle, and they realized it wasn't a complete list. So substituting the word relative in three cases and then defining relative, which would add father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and this would, you know, be for the older student, the 18-year-old student who actually could be married and so might have a father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-law.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. This looks like a pretty straightforward amendment. Is there any did I object? I object for discussion. I object for discussion. Is there any further discussion on this amendment? As I said, it looks pretty straightforward. Seeing no further discussion, I will withdraw my objection. Is there any further objection? Seeing no further objection, amendment number one, labeled R.1, is adopted. Amendment number two is also by Senator Hughes.
I move amendment number two.
I will object for explanation.
Yes, in a moment, Mr. Chair, I'm going to withdraw this, but I did want to bring it on the record because we have had panels of superintendents before us, and it's been requested that we allow a change in statute from the required 180 days of a school term to allow it be done by hours. And the reason is that some high schools would like to go to a four-day week, and that works really well with sports. And on Fridays, there could be classrooms only half full because of students out for sport trips. My understanding, depending where a school district was located, sometimes those trips, if it involves a ferry ride or whatever, can be 3 or 4 days. And so having a four-day weekend, school week makes sense. I think there's some rural districts that have done some creative things as far as the school term. So this is something that I believe that we need to address. We understand the Department of Administration, because of the retirement and benefit program for the TERS, right now in PERS, four-day work weeks are allowed by state employees and various departments. But for TERS, it's a little trickier, and there would have to be some technical fixes made. And so it's a little more complicated than our just allowing hours. We also, the approval of the commissioner, we were removing that too, because once you set it, it to me, it's a local control kind of situation, how a district might want to do that. And to be asking the commissioner to look at those kind of details seems a little bit unnecessary. But I, Mr. Chair, I am going to withdraw this amendment, but I would request that the Department of Administration begin to work at a way that this could be accomplished. I believe we can get from point A to point B on this. We did bring it before them, or actually your staff did a few weeks ago, and I was a bit disappointed because no progress was being made. It was more like this is complicated. And yes, it may be complicated, but if it's going to be helpful for our high school students, we need to take care of this. And I do believe that there's maybe some districts that are already doing some creative things. And so if there are some legal issues that need to be fixed in TERS to accommodate this, I would urge the Department of Administration to begin that process. And then at some point, we can bring something forward like that to give high schools that flexibility. And so with that, I will withdraw amendment number 2.
Well, thanks, Senator Hughes. I appreciate you bringing your attention back to this, because I think a lot of the best work we've done in this committee has been ideas have cropped up and we've been able to take action on them. We do have Jim Puckett with the Division of Retirement and Benefits standing by, maybe in the room or on the phone maybe. But does anybody have any question for Director Puckett? If not, we'll just move on ahead. Amendment number 2 is withdrawn. Next up is amendment number 3, labeled R.3, by Senator Hughes.
I move amendment number 3.
I will object for explanation.
So this is, we had a question, this also came up in a committee, about a student who is 14 could actually still be in 8th grade, so ask the question whether we sometimes have 8th graders taking high school courses for credit. We found out from D that is in fact true. Sometimes 8th graders that are 14 are taking high school courses for credit. So on page 6, line 24, we basically are taking out has completed 8th grade, because this would allow an 8th grader who is 14 and is taking a high school course to participate.
All right. Is there any discussion on amendment number 3? At this time, I see no further discussion. I will withdraw my objection. Is there any further objection to amendment number 3? Seeing no further objection, amendment number 3 is adopted. Next up is amendment number 4, also by Senator Hughes. Senator Hughes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number 4.
I'll object for explanation.
This is language that was inadvertently left out of SB 111 when it was being drafted, based on previous bills that I had worked on in Senator Begich. And it seemed to fit in this bill. And so what it would allow, for instance, if a student, a high school student, is a serious pianist, is taking paying to take piano lessons and practicing for many hours a week, that student could substitute that for taking being in choir and getting a course credit, and that would free up a slot for them maybe to take another science class, et cetera. So the idea of this is sometimes activities under the direction of the school district would have to adopt standards and make sure that it was at a level that would meet the criteria that they might, as far as the learning that might happen in the classroom. But some of those things happening outside of the classroom could apply for course credit, so that it would allow the school district to do that if it chose to do so.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hughes. Is there any further discussion on amendment number 4? Senator Michicki.
I just have a question. Are we positive that they're not allowed to do this now?
We had talked to the, and I don't know if we've got somebody from DEED. When this was first brought up, it could be that they're starting to do it now, because the work on this bill began, you know, five, 6 years ago. And so I am not sure the current, we haven't passed anything at the state level for this. So it may be that districts are doing it, but it's not in statute now.
I'll invite Mr. King to the presenter's table to offer some insight on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Ed King, Staff Senator Holland. Mr. Chairman, yes, the school districts do have authority to issue credits this way, as well as through the career and technical education components that are being created by the bill, in the same way that school districts are already able to give dual credit for middle colleges, and yet the committee also passed a bill on that. This simply puts in statute that these programs are available, and this is consistent with those other efforts that the committee has taken. And there, I believe Sandra Meredith is probably the best person online if you want to ask the department.
Thank you, Mr. King. I'll look to Sandra Meredith. I believe you might be joined via phone. Ms. Meredith, if you'd state your name, your affiliation, your location, put yourself on the record and offer any insight on the question.
This is Sandra Meredith, Administrator for Teacher Certification with the Department of Education and Early Development. I'm speaking from Juneau today. Yes, we can do this already.
Okay, thank you. Senator Hughes?
Is it via regulation right now and not in statute? Is that, or under what authority can this be done right now?
I believe this is available through regulation already. Districts have the local control to award credit for this type of activity.
All right, thank you. Senator Michicki?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not disallowed by statute, it's certainly allowed. My only concern is it's a title change. It's late in the session. It's a higher vote threshold, something to think about. But I'll leave it up to the others on the committee. It seems unnecessary, but I'll just leave it at that.
Senator King? Senator King. Pardon. Mr. King.
Ed King, Staff Senator Hahn, and just to put on the record that the changes that were made in the CS already do require a title change.
All right. Thank you, Mr. King. All right. With no further discussion, I will withdraw my objection for amendment number 4, labeled R.4. Is there any further objection? With no further objection, amendment number 4 is adopted. All right. At this point, I will, before I look to the will of the committee, I'll offer the bill sponsor to the presenter's table. Thank you, Representative Fields. Do you have any closing thoughts on the bill before we look to the will of the committee?
Sure. For the record, Zach Fields, House District 20. This is a labor and commerce bill. The bill before you does incorporate good ideas from many members of the Labor and Commerce Committee, majority and minority. The bill is supported by a wide range of business organizations, from contractors to healthcare providers to individual companies to CTE directors and school districts and school district administrators, as you heard. And I appreciate the committee and incorporating a lot of these good ideas and working with many members to make sure you've got a good product. So thank you for your work on it.
Thank you, Representative Fields. With no further amendments and with no further debate, Senator Stevens.
Can I ask Mr. Fields, is there anything in the amendments we passed that causes you concern?
No. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Fields. So with no further debate, no further amendments, I'll just mention that changes that have been made to this bill have zeroed the fiscal notes on this bill, and I will look to the will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate committee substitute for CSHB 132 Finance, work order 32-LSO476/R, as amended, be reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Without objection, Senate committee substitute CSHB 132 has been reported from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. And we'll do a brief and easy sign of paperwork. Senate Education is back on the record. Is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none, so this is possibly our last meeting of the Senate Education Committee during this 32nd legislative session, and we will schedule another meeting if a House bill comes to us that requires our attention, but I do not anticipate that to be the case. If indeed this is our last Education Committee meeting, I'd like to thank the members for their hard work, their dedication, and patience during my first term as chairman. And I think we did a lot of very good work, very good and important work over these last 2 years. I'm especially proud of the work we did towards improving student reading performance through Senate Bill 111. I mentioned we can't fix our education challenges here in this committee, but we do need to give the tools and the funding to our teachers and our students to do the work in the field. I also believe that the work we did to advance tribal education, compacting teacher recruitment and retention, career and technical education are equally important. I'm hopeful that all those efforts make it across the finish line this year. But regardless of what happens during the next few weeks, I think we can all be proud of the productivity and collegiality demonstrated in this committee. Again, I thank everyone that helped make this a successful endeavor. I hope we can continue this level of statesmanship moving forward. Are there any comments from the committee? Senator Hughes?
I have enjoyed being on this committee, Mr. Chair, and appreciate the collaboration, and it's been a very productive committee. I appreciate you and your office. And in your list of things that we accomplished, I wanted to add Senator Stevens' civics education bill. I think that is a very significant piece of legislation, and it's been a pleasure being on this committee.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Stevens?
Well, let me agree with that. It was I really enjoyed the committee. You've done a great job, and I just think you should also thank your staff. They've done a tremendous job with this committee as well.
Who?
Whoever is in the background.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. I will thank my staff who've helped make this a relatively easy first year in this job. Senator Bicicchi.
Yeah, happy to. Thank you. I've enjoyed it as well. I think we've done some really good work on, particularly I'm proud of, I talked about it on the floor, you all working together, coming from kind of 180 out on 111 and then coming together with Senator Begich and Senator Hughes and well, the rest of us, the committee, wanting to have a better outcome and hold education accountable. We're all supporters of education, but our philosophy has been we want to improve Alaska's place in this country, and we're willing to put our money where our mouth is, and we did that together. It's been a great committee, and thanks for your staff support and yours, Mr. Chairman. I've been proud to serve here.
Thank you, Senator Bicicchi. I think my staff's day was made when an invited testimony or public testimony had said, who is that Ed King dot guy? He's awesome. I appreciate him. So that made his day. But with that being said, we will stand adjourned at 10:19.